Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I am really excited to welcome back to the show Lisa Mannion, and she is going to speak with us today about giving women a voice in marketing. I don't know about you, but I am frankly really tired of opening my email box several times a day and being assaulted by "the world is ending now if you don't buy my product right this instant" sales messages. They wear me out, and frankly, I find them insulting to my intelligence. Lisa's going to tell us the old, worn-out, traditional copywriting formula of problem, agitate, and solve just isn't resonating with women, and she's going to tell us what is working with women. And I'm going to apologize straight out of the chute. I have got a raspy voice for some reason this morning, but Lisa is a fabulous guest, and I've just told her in the green room, look, she's so good at her topic. I probably could step outside and garden, and she would carry the show. She knows what she's talking about. She's excited and passionate about it, and she's going to give us some great, great information. So good morning, Lisa, and welcome back.
Good morning. I'm absolutely delighted to be here. I mean, I can't tell you how happy I am to be able to talk about this really important topic that is helping women and men alike breathe a deep sigh of relief, because there is a different, better way to connect with people and not make them, well, for lack of a better word, just completely turned off by marketing.
Ticked off is good, too.
Yeah, that too. Well, we could use some others, but I'm going to be good.
We could, yeah. Let's just get that one out of there. I mean, listen, I look at some of these things, and I just go, really? Who do you think you're talking to? I mean, some of them are that insulting. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I have a low threshold these days, but
no,
we are
it's
just
not
bombarded.
You. It's really, yeah, it's not you. It's what's being taught, and that's unfortunate because nothing else has been being taught, right? So when you learn something one way and the experts are telling you that that's what you should be doing and you follow along blindly,
right?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been another way presented. I don't think that people are really trying to be offensive. I don't think that the people teaching the antiquated formula even really realize what they're doing, but it is a big turnoff to people. It does tick people off, and it simply doesn't feel good. And one of the things that I like to share with clients is if it doesn't feel good, it probably isn't good. And if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. So we have to really start tapping into our intuition and really human nature. And marketing truly is about building relationships. You cannot build a relationship when you are talking at someone.
Excellent, excellent point. And that's what a lot of salespeople do. They just talk at you and hope that something is going to make you purchase. And it's an unfortunate thing, and it doesn't really work. Maybe it used to work. Apparently it did. But I'll tell you a story. There are some very large, well-known online marketing people that, you know, we all followed them around. We all probably know the same people and followed their marketing and, you know, tried to figure out how they were doing what they were doing. And after a while, when I kept seeing the same stuff over and over and over again, didn't matter what the product was, I just removed myself from their list. And I suspect strongly that a lot of people have done that as well, because these marketers who were around for so long, they're kind of not around anymore. And it makes you wonder why they didn't learn a better way of, they have great products. I'm not saying they don't. But their message was just so off that I think a lot of people just said, no, I heard this one. Yeah, no, it doesn't feel right.
That's so true. And when we look back to when these formulas that are antiquated originated, the landscape of sales and purchasing and everything were very, very different. Women were not influencing the majority of all household purchases, where that's not the case anymore. Now, 85% of all purchases, including male-oriented products such as electronics and home improvements and automobiles and sporting goods and things like that, are actually, those purchases are actually influenced by women, 85% of them.
Wow.
Doesn't mean that women are making all of the purchases, but they're definitely influencing their partner as well and playing a much bigger role, because as society has evolved, so have the way that people purchase and the people that are making those decisions. So I think it's really important that we shift the formulas with that, and we haven't been doing that. And what I find really, really interesting is that for years I have been teaching this model that I'm going to introduce, and it was kind of confusing people because they would come to me with that problem, agitate, solve mentality that they had been taught over and over again by very successful marketers. I'm not saying that it didn't work at one time, but things have changed, so this has to change too. And it was confusing people because they would say, well, Lisa, I just spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to learn this problem, agitate, solve copywriting formula from someone else, and now you're telling me that's not how to do it. And I would say, that's exactly right. That's not how to do it. At that time, when I first started teaching this, which is years and years ago, I didn't have a name for it. I hadn't really named my formula, but I just knew I was doing things differently, and I knew that that problem, agitate, and solve formula was not working, because it truly comes from a place of scarcity and manipulation, just to be straight up and call it like it is. And I just don't think it's right when we're taught with that formula to highlight a problem and then to go in and really agitate that problem and just, like, you know, shake up the pain points and then come in as some awesome marketing hero to solve the problem, right?
Right.
I get that people do have problems and people have pain, and that makes a lot of sense. But quite honestly, women especially, we don't want to be agitated. We don't want people to pinpoint our problems. We want solutions, and we want to be understood. So that's why I'm saying enough is enough. And I'm just speaking out and saying it. And I'm getting a lot of really interesting response about this too, because people really are coming to me and saying, Lisa, I can seriously breathe a sigh of relief, because it didn't feel right to market to people with that formula. And, you know, I go back to what I said when we were opening. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. So here's the thing. People are in enough pain as it is. Why poke at that? Why agitate that? Why bring that to the surface? Because nothing really flows when it comes from a place of pain and fear. It just doesn't. And if we're being taught to market in a way that doesn't feel good, that's going to carry over energetically to everything we do, and the consumers, your prospects, who you would like to turn into playing clients, or pardon me, paying clients. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're playing in everything we do and having fun too, but we do need to make a profit, and in order to do that, we truly have to connect.
Right, right. And basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're talking about raising consciousness so your clients can make clear, excited, and empowered choices to work with you, not based in fear or, oh my God, I've got to do this right now type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
It doesn't feel good. And I know we're talking a lot about feeling, but that's what marketing is. Marketing is about getting you to feel something, isn't it?
It is. It's about emotions. So why not tap
right.
into the positive emotions? Why not focus on that and bring more of that into our world? Because that's what people are hungry for. I've had so many very fascinating conversations with women that are really high-level entrepreneurs, you know, that are saying, listen, this whole problem, agitate, solve thing does not work for me. If I click on a sales letter and that's what it feels like to me, I am clicking away immediately.
Mm-hmm. You and me both. I
yeah,
just cannot.
Yeah, and that's
today.
Exactly right. And so here's the thing. People are also asking me about sales letters. Well, do they really work? Everything can work if you change the way you're doing things, if you stop using the antiquated problem, agitate, and solve formula, and you make a shift to something that's more positive, then yes, it will work, because what you're doing is you're speaking a language that your ideal clients understand, that they really want to connect with, that makes them feel good. And then when they feel good about a purchase, there's probably not going to be any buyer's remorse. So if you look at it this way, using that problem, agitate, and solve formula, there's a good chance, because it doesn't feel good, to the people creating it, to the people receiving it, and then the people that actually do respond to it after the fact something doesn't feel right, they may return the purchase, they may feel bad about buying it. You never know, but it's really a snowball effect, because negativity breeds negativity. It may bring a profit in the short run, but the long run, it's not going to have staying power.
And then people start talking about it, going, oh, my God, I was bludgeoned into buying this. And, you know, people, even though they made the decision, it still can sometimes feel like you just kind of got beat into it. And that's not right, but
it really can.
And
when you look at purchases, I mean, when was the last time you were super agitated and decided to buy something?
I don't think I ever have, to be honest with you. I was listening to one of your interviews, and you said about the only time you would do that, you would buy chocolate. And I started laughing.
Yeah,
chocolate
or wine. I mean, seriously, if I'm agitated, bring on a quick fix. I know it's not the solution, but hey, some wine and chocolate will help. But honestly,
I take it back. I just lied to you. I will go to Dooney and Burke and buy myself a bag. I lied. So I'd be better off with chocolate. It's cheaper.
Well, you know, that's okay. But if you think about it, being in a place of pain does not facilitate, and then being agitated does not facilitate positive change, even if you come in with a solution, because it's a manipulative technique. And I know a lot of people are saying to me, Lisa, I can't believe you're stepping up and you're saying that this is manipulative. Well, it is. And here's the thing. What I'm saying is true, and you can't dispute the truth.
Right.
Even people using that formula, when they stop and think about it, because they probably haven't really thought about it, because it's just what's been taught, and often we don't question what we're taught, right?
Well, and you see it working for other people, so you think, aha, I've stumbled onto something.
We think we see it working for other people, but
there
here's the other thing. It's like the blind leading the blind. So you see someone roll out this big, long sales letter or this campaign using the problem, agitate, and solve formula, and you believe that they've had great results. You might not even have heard them present the results, and just because they're doing it and maybe they're a big name, you think what they're doing is right. And this is where I want to challenge everyone to honestly start thinking for yourself. Stop following other people blindly. You know instinctively, intuitively, if something is going to work for you and for your ideal clients. It will feel more aligned. It won't feel icky, for lack of a better word, and I know that's, you know, kind of an interesting term to use, but that is the word that people are using when they tell me how they feel about this problem, agitate, and solve formula, especially women. And I do want to say, the new formula that I'm introducing and that I have created is effective for men as well. It's not just women.
For the female market.
Right. I just happen to work with primarily female clients, but it's also working for men. And I've had men reach out and say to me, Lisa, thank you for facilitating this change. Thank you for stepping up and speaking out. And also thank you for not excluding men.
Well, why would they think that it wasn't for them? I guess I'm a little curious as to why men would think that this is, women would have to be marketed to differently. I mean, how did that come about?
Well, it is a truism to a certain degree, because men and women do respond to different things. But the formula that I'm introducing can be used to speak to both men and women, and it's just a softer approach. It's truly a softer approach. But men and women do purchase differently. They do think about things differently. So you do need to keep that into consideration. I mean, sometimes when we're speaking to women, we're going to be a little bit more emotional about things. We're going to be a little bit more vulnerable in some ways. And some men are not comfortable with that. Some are. So we still have to keep that in mind. But I just didn't want to come out there and say, hey, this is a new formula that only works for women, because that's not true either. Men are responding because they're tired of being sold to in the same antiquated ways. And honestly, I don't think that they respond to being thoroughly agitated and having their problems highlighted either, right? I don't think that that really makes them tick, and that's the response I'm getting.
You know, I find that very interesting, because allegedly it has worked for a very long time, and I can't agree with you more. It is time to do some different type of open up some different types of dialogues, if you will. And that's what it is. That's what marketing is. It's a dialogue. And I don't want to be told that I have to buy something right now or my life as I know it is over in 4 hours. I mean, really?
That's so true. And, you know, the formula can work, but I just think it's done in a deceptive and manipulative way, and I just don't agree with that. I don't think it's the way to treat people, because here's the thing. Yes, we are in business to first be of service and also to make a profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who are putting profit first and who are treating people like numbers are often using this antiquated technique, and eventually in the long run it will backfire.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. I really have.
I have too. So when you come first from a place of service, knowing that you're in this world with this great passion and this gift to share, whatever it might be, or even a product that makes a difference, right? You know you're coming from a good place, from a place of integrity. And then you know, of course, what that means is people are going to be interested in what you have to offer when you're approaching it in the right manner, and you will profit. So there's nothing wrong with profiting. That's great. But it's the way we treat people. It's the way that we approach people and we build those relationships through marketing that has to change.
So, Lisa, can you give me some examples of the new thought process that you have? Can you give me some?
Oh, that's great. I should probably share that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I would love for you to share that, because I know we're talking about the old model. I'd like to know where yours differs. I mean, I would love to know, if you don't mind sharing.
I would absolutely love to share. So here's the situation. For women especially, when someone acknowledges our challenges and really understands where we're coming from, and then provides a solution, a helpful solution to whatever might be challenging us, and extends a friendly invitation, we're much more likely to purchase or to take action, right? And I said before that nothing truly flows when it comes from a place of pain and fear, and that is why the antiquated formula of problem, agitate, and solve is being replaced by my new formula, which is challenge, solution, and invitation. And it seems like a subtle change, but those subtleties will make all the difference, because what we're doing is we're acknowledging the challenge, we're then offering that solution, and we're extending a friendly invitation. We're not trying to sell, even though that's what's happening by default. We're doing it in a way that builds relationships, that takes into consideration who our ideal clients are, what really motivates them, how they feel about things, and what's going to move them to action.
And here's something that I would like you to speak to as well. There may not be any immediate action. It could take a while, because you are building that relationship, are you not?
That's correct. And I think I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, yes, you don't always see instant results, because marketing is a relationship-building tool. That's why there are so many different avenues for marketing and advertising, and why you have to do more than just one thing in order to get results. You know, you cannot just choose one method and think that suddenly you'll
be rich tomorrow.
A flood of clients.
Right. And I hear, you know, I have clients or people who want to become clients with one of my companies and say, I've spent, like you, you know, they'll say to you, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars and nothing happened, so I'm discouraged and, you know, I don't know what to do. And I'll say, well, what kind of relationships are you building? What have you done long term? I mean, you don't walk up to somebody in the grocery store, grab them by their collar and say, you know what, I've got a car in the parking lot you need right now. You just don't do that. So I think for people to think that online marketing is closely equated to that, it just doesn't even make sense to me. It's almost a form of insanity.
Well, that is a fact. And the truth of the matter is everything takes time. And marketing is a relationship-building tool, and just like any relationship, it takes time. I mean, you're typically not going to ask someone to marry you on the first date.
One would hope.
I mean, really. So liken it to that and think about it.
Really?
The other thing is, you're right, there has to be a fine balance for your marketing mix. There has to be consistency in your communication. And the other thing that I talk a lot about is strategy, and this is so important, because there's people out there teaching really, you know, about how important copy is. Copy is really important, but you have to have your strategy in place. And in fact, I'm actually challenging another age-old industry adage, and that is the one that copy is king. I totally disagree with that. What I've found is that copy is actually queen, and that content strategy is king. So you have to have that content strategy and the copy working together. in order mm-hmm. for your campaigns to work, because even the very best copywriter in the world can create something compelling for you, but if you don't have a strategy in place to drive people to that content, mm-hmm. nothing's going to happen. And I like to always say, a funny thing happens when you don't market. Nothing.
Right.
Well, you have to have that strategy in place, and you have to have really good copy. And what I'm actually saying is that people can think of strategy as the masculine energy in marketing and copy as the feminine energy, and both are vital, but if they're not working together, it's a struggle, and it's back to that relationship piece. It's just like a relationship. Mm-hmm. In a relationship, if you're not working together, what happens? Mm-hmm. Things fall apart. But if you're working together and creating that symbiotic relationship, wow, things flow.
Well, what kind of marketing strategy do you suggest that people put in place? I mean, not everybody even knows where to begin, to be honest with you. So what would you suggest people start with? So let me back up just a little bit. I had a client come to me and say, listen, this is how I started working with him. The first thing he said to me was, I need a press release. And I said, well, what's your audience? And he said, well, I'm not sure. I said, what kind of marketing do you have in place now? Are you on the holy three, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter? No. I said, you don't need a press release. And I was dead serious about who was going to read it. Nobody knew who we were.
Oh, my goodness. That's such a
brilliant
question.
Now, was I right
question.
Or was I wrong?
No, you're right.
I hope
and
I wasn't wrong.
Thing.
I hope I wasn't. He's still a client, but, I mean, I just couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why he wanted to spend hundreds of dollars on a press release that nobody knew who he was or what his product was.
Well, and if he doesn't know exactly who he's speaking to, that's a big challenge
exactly.
as well. So
exactly.
the place to start is to, you know, of course, determine who your ideal clients are. And many times this actually freaks people out because they feel like if they're really identifying a core ideal client, they're excluding others. There's all kinds of interesting psychological things that come up when it comes to marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to begin with that relationship and know who you're speaking to and start with relationships. In fact, you might not even start with a website, right? Even though I specialize in web copy, that might not be where you
mm-hmm.
start. You're definitely not going to start with a press release if you don't have a website or a social media presence in place,
right.
for sure.
Right, that's what
but
I
But you
thought.
Might start with something even traditional like old-fashioned referral letters. Wow, think about that. That can work. Or word-of-mouth referrals even. So there's so many
mm-hmm.
different layers to it. But I love what you said about the gentleman coming to you asking for that press release, because one of my specialties is press releases as well. And I was
know.
Thinking for
and
a
I
long
thought
time that that was like
that the conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought for a long time, because I was so passionate about them and because I loved the transformation that took place when I was working with women and pulling all these questions out of them and illuminating their gifts, and they were getting really excited and seeing things about themselves that they hadn't seen before, that that was a really good place to start. And what I realized when I stepped back was that's not the best entry point to my business. That transformation process is lovely, and I enjoy it because helping people and empowering them and kind of pushing them to step into their bigger mission inspires me beyond belief, but what they really needed was to have their website up and running first. So I've switched the way I approach things around, and here's the thing. That's what you have to do. You'll try some things, they might not work, and then you'll switch the way it works. So now people come to me primarily for web copy or Mannion Marketing web makeovers, and I help them get their online presence up and running, at least from a content perspective. I don't do any of the fabulous design work like you do. I mean, that's not my gig, but I help them at least get their strategy in place and their content to a place where they can work with a designer, get everything up and running so their presence is where it needs to be when they start
mm-hmm.
implementing the press release like your client wanted to drive people to their website or to get mainstream media exposure, because people are going to look at your online presence. It is an ongoing
right.
digital footprint, and some people call it your digital tattoo. It's there. It's permanent, and it needs to make a good impression.
Well, it was even worse than him wanting to try to drive people to his website. He didn't. He wanted to drive people to a trade show. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Seriously, this is
well,
not
unless he owned the trade show, that would seem like a waste of money to me.
Well, I talked him out of it.
Yeah. And that's just it, strategy. And sometimes there are so many options that people just get confused. Don't you find that's true?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, we do want solutions to our problems. So we're online. And I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, too, which kind of, you know, ties in with what we're talking about now. But when we're making purchasing decisions, when we're being sold to, so much of it is online these days. So we are just going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And you and I have both said in the past, when people arrive at your website, they're there for one thing and one thing only. What's the solution to their problem? What's the answer to their question? What's in it for them, basically? And, you know, we've talked about this, too. You've got to have all of that in place, your branding in place, your social media in place. And, unfortunately, it's a lot to undertake, and people just go, whoa, I'm paralyzed. Where do I start? And I think that's where you come in. You know, you can tell people, listen, you know, your copy is certainly important. Everything else is important. What would you tell people who are just maybe kind of starting out or just have not got their copy or their web presence up because they've got a great product, they've got a great idea, but they're like, huh, now what do I do?
Well, you know, that's
you can't market to your neighbor. I mean, you have to have a bigger audience.
Oh, that's so true and such a good question, because here's what happens, I find, with people. When especially they decide to get their web presence up and running, it's a very big job, as you know, because there's the design and the programming and all that, and that's just one piece of it, right? That's a big piece of it. And then finally, by the time they work on all that, their copy tends to be, or their content tends to be, an afterthought, which is one of the most dangerous things you can do in your marketing, because your word is truly what carries out your mission, your vision, your values, and the what's in it for me factor for your clients. So I would say, you know, if at all possible, either invest in some really good training, hopefully that's providing you with the knowledge of my new formula, which is the challenge, solution, invitation approach as opposed to the problem, agitate, and solve approach, so you can do it yourself. Or if you can afford to invest in a copywriter, get an expert eye. And I'm not the best copywriter for every business, and I know that for a fact. You know, other people will be a better fit. That's okay. There's totally enough business to go around. But you need to be very, very clear on what your messaging is and how you're putting that together. So it is creating that know, like, and trust factor and really keeping the what's in it for me factor at the forefront of everything you're doing. Because even if you are super accomplished and you've won all these awards and done all these great things within your business, people are going to want to know a little bit about that, but that's where we have to put our ego in check and say, this isn't really about me. It's about what I'm delivering to my ideal client and how I can make their life better with whatever it is I'm offering. And then you have to start from that place.
Yes, exactly. Lisa, where can people find this new product?
Well, right now, actually, that's fabulous. I have created the formula, challenge, solution, and invitation, and I have not even released my product on this yet.
Oh.
But it's coming.
It's coming out soon, right?
It's coming very soon. Yeah, I'm actually going to do a call on May 8th about this topic. I'm being interviewed by Linda Joy, who is the publisher of Aspire Magazine, and that's kind of how all of this started, actually. It's really pretty cool. I was honored to grace the cover of Aspire Magazine, the April and May edition, and since that happened, and I wrote an article about my new formula where I finally named it, right, called Find Your Voice, the new marketing model for success is here, that's when things started exploding. So we're leading up to talk more in depth about this on the 8th, and I will be offering a free call on that and give people a little bit more information.
And people can find you at Right On Creative, which is your primary website, isn't it?
They can, and if people are interested in the call too, I'm happy to have them join me, and it's rightoncreative.com/integrity, because this really is all about marketing with integrity. That's what I'm kind of trying to bring to the forefront here, to show people we can do it differently. We don't have to manipulate. We don't have to do any of that. If we're here to be of true service and to provide really excellent solutions, there's a new and better way.
Well, you know, you said something a minute ago that really intrigued me, because it's exactly what I've been trying to kind of articulate here. You said when you got on the cover of Aspire and you've got this teleseminar call interview coming up pretty quickly, you said something very, very intriguing. You said that's when everything started to kind of come together and pop. And the reason for that is because you do believe in what you're talking about, don't you? And you are being of service to people.
That's exactly right, and it's flowing more naturally than anything that I have done
exactly.
to date. And this may sound a little strange, but I know this is much bigger than me. And I feel almost
I'm just sort of a conduit
for this message, that it's such the time for change. So I can't take full credit because, of course, I always believe that there's something much bigger than us that drives everything. And I'm happy to come forward and share this message with everyone in that spirit. And so it is kind of blowing my mind. I'm going to be really straight up about it. I know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been teaching this for a long time, but I haven't named it. And so I finally named it and started sharing it, and it resonated on such a deep level with so many people. I've had, this is my sixth interview in a little over a week and a half on the topic.
I know you mentioned that earlier, and I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a great way, you know, to get your message out. But let me ask you this, and I'm deeply curious about this. I know, you know, you're saying that this has kind of been in your thoughts and your mind and your heart for a while. What brought it to fruition? What was the catalyst? Do you even know? Or did it just kind of burst out of you one day? Because
you know,
I find that when the time is ready, you're ready.
I'm ready, and also I invest in high-level coaching and mentorship too. And my coach asked me a question earlier this year, and she really pushed me to think about some things, and I think it's important to invest in ourselves always, which is why I do that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this
the
other day. I'm like, wow, I could have had a brand new car for what I've invested in this coaching, but that's another story. So
been there, done that.
Yeah, what she said
and
to
you're
me
right,
was,
we have to invest. You're
yeah.
Right.
She said, Lisa, you're not really a copywriter anymore. What are you? She said, you're really stepping into a different place. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to write copy, but in fact, I resisted what she said at first. I was thinking about it, and I thought, wow, what does that mean? I mean, I've been writing copy forever, and I'm really good at this, and it is part of what I do.
And
I'm really
coaching
people on this
brilliant.
New model.
Yeah.
And so that is part of the catalyst. It's surrounding myself with the right people at the right time and knowing that people were really, really open to this change and listening. I mean, again, listening to my clients and realizing it was time. It was time to share this. And so when I wrote my article for Aspire Magazine, that's actually where it all came together. And I came up with the name during that process. And I think it just all fell into place. It was absolutely time. And that exposure, being on the cover of a magazine where some of the biggest spiritual thought leaders have been featured, was humbling. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this means it's time for me to make a big impact. And it's not that I haven't been, but I haven't been doing it in a real public way. You know me, and I kind of like to be behind the scenes.
Yeah. I know. So what prompted you to just... It was just time, I guess. And I know that sounds very simple, but sometimes it's just time, isn't it?
Well, it was time, and it's now so clear that it was time because so many people are saying, thank you, Lisa, for finally saying this, and especially because I tend to work with primarily female clients who are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, coaches, and artists. So they tend to be a little bit more spiritual and a little more creative. Again, not excluding men or other people, right? But just that's who tends to gravitate to me. And as soon as they heard this message, they just said, wow, this is what we've been looking for. Everything else was not feeling right to me, and they knew that that's the way that I'd been working. But finally, putting that name on it and just naming it gave them something to hold on to and to realize, that's it. I've been taught this antiquated formula of problem, agitate, and solve that just doesn't feel good and it's manipulative. And now there's this better way that just softens it that is, you know, really the new copywriting formula of challenge, solution, and invitation that helps facilitate relationship building and moves us forward. And, you know, I can't really explain why. I mean, I get why people are interested in it and why it makes sense, but I am a little overwhelmed by how popular it is and how well it's being received. And I thought, well, wow, people have been feeling this for a long time, but I just named it, and now it's taking off like wildfire.
And good for you. You know, seriously, you're so correct because, you know, I've looked at the same, you know, I'm going to call it the old school marketing, and every once in a while I think, oh, I'll go ahead and take this course, and something always stopped me at the keyboard. It's like, no, it doesn't feel right. I can't. And I always went with my gut instinct, and I may have, you know, put myself a little bit behind on some products, you know, product launches, but it didn't feel good. And it has to feel right. It has to feel good. And I think the important thing that you're saying here is that it's about relationship marketing, relationship building. You can't just hit somebody over the head and say, I've got this great product. You really need it right now. We may need it right now, but we still need to stop and think and consider. It's, you know, money's tight. And investments, well, we do need to invest in ourselves. But women, I think, tend to go, let me think about this a bit. Okay, now I'm ready. Is that what you find?
I do find that, and I'm so glad you brought up the investment, because you mentioned, you know, you kind of alluded to a new product that I'm coming out with, and I am, and I'm making it very accessible. I can't reveal everything because that's what I'm doing on my call on the 8th, but
I know.
it really is going to be really accessible, because what I find is, as I've grown my business, I've, of course, had to increase my rates and the level that people can work with me and things like that. But what I've been very conscious of all along is that I don't want to leave people behind. I want to make sure that I'm still able to provide very solid business building marketing tools that are going to help people wherever they are. So that's why I'm creating these programs. So if someone cannot invest with one-on-one with me, they're getting the basic foundations for a nominal fee, a fraction of what I pay or what I receive hourly, actually, for a full integrated program that can help them get really clear on finding their voice and choosing their ideal clients and really creating marketing messages with integrity, which is what the whole program is going to be about.
Excellent. So, you know, basically people can start at the basic level, I don't know what you'd be calling that, but and work their way up as they become more confident in their marketing and they understand what their voice is, and eventually they're where they need to be to work with you one-on-one should they desire.
That's exactly right, and I think that's the way, you know, that's the way it works. That's the way that I've worked with my mentors. Mm-hmm. You know, it started by getting whatever I could get my hands on that was free from the people I was drawn to that were really teaching things in a way that resonated with me, and then realizing, wow, I'm going to have to implement these things, and then realizing, okay, I think I can, I'm to a point now where I can purchase a program or a product, but I'm not really to the point where I can fully invest in the one-on-one high-level mentorship, and I've worked my way up to where I could finally do that. It doesn't happen overnight. I've been in business since 2003. You know, it's taken time to build everything and to get to a place where I can actually now invest very large sums of money to align myself with the top tier people in the industry so they can teach me what they've learned, and I can in turn share those messages with more people too. So it really is a progression. And one of the things that I saw that's really interesting, and I bet you've seen this too, is that sometimes when people grow, and I'm experiencing a little bit of growing pains right now because I'm going to be revamping some things, so I'm always very open and authentic about where I am in business. You know, I'm just a person, just like everyone else is a person. But what I've seen other people doing is as they grow, they take these giant leaps, which is fabulous. I'm all for leaping. But then what happens is the people that have been following them have been loyal parts of their community, say if they have an online e-zine or something, start feeling a little left behind. And that's exactly why I've created these other tiers, so that I'm not just leaving people behind. And as I make changes, I share that very openly with my community. When my rates doubled a little over a year ago, I sent out information to my community and let them know why that had to happen. I mean, the cost of doing business, what I was investing in myself and where I was going with my business. And I gave them an opportunity because I knew some people were saving up still to work with me at the level I was before. And I gave them the opportunity to lock that in. You know, I didn't just suddenly, sorry, I'm raising my rates, you're out of luck. But I guess because I care about the people I work with and I care about my community, I don't like to call them a list. That bugs me because they're not numbers.
I know. It's not a good word, is it?
No, so that's how I tend to approach things, and I think that's why people resonate with me, and I also think that's why people are so open to this challenge, solution, and invitation formula that I've created for copywriting, because they've needed a change, they've known me for a long time and trust me, and then even those who don't know me and are just getting introduced to me based on, you know, being on the cover of the magazine and the radio interviews that I've been doing and the internet press that I've been receiving. There's some press releases out there and some cool social media things going around. People are really realizing, wow, you know what? She's really coming from a place of service.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell.
And that's so important. That's so, and I'm glad you said that. Can you expound on that just a little bit, coming from a place of service?
Well, yeah. I mean, and then actually it's something I've had to learn to balance, because I truly just want to help people. That I'm passionate about it. I get so excited helping people get results and realize their dreams and achieve what they want to achieve. Sometimes I forget to create really firm boundaries because I'm running a business here, right?
I know. We do the same thing, and we forget that we're a profit-driven business model sometimes, and then all of a sudden you're going, well, crummy doodle. But that's
well,
okay.
You have to think about
fun.
That, but I'm the first to admit I'm not a numbers person. In fact, I just hired a new bookkeeper whose job is to make me play nice with numbers, right? Because that's not
there
my thing.
Go.
I like to make money and spend it and create. But there's some, you know, in between there that I need support with. So I invest
right.
in that. But coming from a place of true service means that you absolutely have the best interest of the people you're working with in mind.
Yeah.
And that's what comes first. But you do have to create those strong boundaries. And it's interesting that you bring that up, because what I'm finding is as I continue to grow and people want to tap into my knowledge, I've had a couple of challenging things happen lately where people have reached out and wanted to work with me, and we've maybe touched base in the past, but I'm limiting the number of one-on-one clients that I'm working with now, so I only have room for 4 or 5-page web copy packages a month right now, and I'm only doing 4 Manion Marketing web makeovers a week because I have to free up time to create. Well, I've had people reach out to me and want to work with me, and I let them know, you know, that's great, my schedule's filling really quickly, you can go to my website to schedule an appointment, because I can't do free consultations any longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do that. So I've had some people that are kind of upset about that and wondering, you know, why I am not just able to jump on the phone and look at their website for them, because we may have had a relationship in the past. And it's a matter of getting – it's hard for me because I do want to help, but I have to have those boundaries in place and say, hey, I'd really love to be of support, but this is actually what I do to earn a living so I can make my mortgage payment as well. I mean, it comes from a place of being of service, but bottom line is we also have our own expenses, and so we have to
mm-hmm.
keep that bottom line in mind too. And it's a fine balance. It's a fine balance. So when I say I'm experiencing some growing pains, I'm experiencing a little bit of that because I don't want to disappoint people, right? We never do.
No, you don't want to hurt their feelings, and it's so difficult sometimes.
It is. So those boundaries are important. First, you know, coming from that place
yeah.
of service, people can tell, creating really firm boundaries. And, you know, you have to have mutual respect and realize, you know, I know that sometimes I need help with my business. And a lot of my clients are also colleagues and friends, and we honor each other by investing in each other's services.
Mm-hmm.
Not just saying, hey, can I pick your brain?
Right. Well, exactly. And I know we've all talked about that. Didn't you or who was it that wrote a great article called No, You Can't Pick My Brain? It's Too Expensive.
Oh, I wish
who
I could take credit
article?
For that. It's been circulating. It wasn't me, but whoever wrote that is brilliant. I'll have to find out who that was because that was good. Yeah, I think I shared that on my wall a few times on social media because it really makes sense.
It does. And, I mean, there is a point where you say, sure, you can pick my brain. You've got, you know, I can give you 10 minutes. And then an hour later, you're like, oh, geez. Because you get excited and, you know, you're problem solving and sharing. So you're right. Those boundaries are so, so important. But it's a balancing act, as you say. You just don't want to offend anybody or let them think they're left behind. And I have seen some people who just, they've gotten really big, really fast. And it's like, they kind of lost their humanity a little bit along the way.
It can feel that way. You know, it really can. I felt that way in the past when people took the big leap and I felt a little left behind. It's because it is an emotional thing.
It is, because you're attached to these people. You think very highly of their work, you know, their wisdom. You're just, you know, so proud of what they're doing. And all of a sudden, they're gone.
It's true. And, you know, and that was hard for me to limit my accessibility, because I am, by nature, I could talk to people all day for free and love it, right? I can do what I do for free.
Yep.
That's how much I love it. But I can't.
Me too.
Because I do have to make the mortgage. So I've incorporated some interesting things, and a lot of my business is referral-based, and I have preferred referral partners, and this doesn't mean it's an affiliate agreement. It just means it's people that believe in what I do, and
mm-hmm.
I know that they send me highly qualified leads of people who really want to connect and build relationships and work with me. So I will. You can't get to it on my website, but if you connect with one of my preferred referral partners, for instance, if you were to say to me, Lisa, there's this person I really need you to connect with, then I gift a complimentary Get Connected call for 15 minutes to those qualified leads, but you can only get it through one of my preferred referral partners. And that makes me a little more accessible, yet keeping those boundaries in place, and also identifying those centers of influence who are really, truly sending people my way that are serious about
right.
their business and want to step up in a big way.
Right, right. And I'm so glad you said that, because in my industry, you know, there's so many questions popping up about the virtual assistants industry, the online business manager, and that center of influence is so, so important. When my clients send me referrals, they're 100% qualified before they ever get to me, because they're
it's
not going to waste
to have
my
that
time.
In place.
It's well, I'm 100% referral based at this point. I'm very lucky, very blessed. But it's so, so important. And people will say, "Well, how do I get clients?" Well, that's a whole other story. It's a whole other topic. But once you find what I would call an angel client, or two, or ten, those clients are so important. They are your center of influence. They think so highly of who you are and what you do with and for them. They will refer you all day long. And they're not going to refer people to you who either, number one, can't afford to work with you, or number two, are just going to, you know, just nitpick you to death. These are highly, highly qualified people that come to you. And it's amazing. And I know, you know, you experience that as well.
I do, and you know, it's so funny. You brought up online business managers, and that is such a buzz topic right now. And I have, I'm in several high-level mentorship groups where people are looking for really solid OBMs because they're ready to take their business to the next level. So remind me when we're done with the call to reach out to you and talk to you about that and get some more information from you so I can pass your information on.
No, I would love that. I wasn't hinting, I promise.
No, I knew you weren't, but I'm just saying that it's been a very hot topic, and I need to expand some of my referral options for people, and I love the work that you're doing, and I want to learn more about that and have a conversation about that with you. So.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, and that's the thing. When you say that you love what you do, people pick that up from you, don't they? They pick up your excitement and your passion, and when we're offering solutions and help and assistance to people, it may be as simple as a phone call, but it does come back to you because you're excited and you're passionate, and it's a ripple effect, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and, you know, honestly, just having this conversation with you has made my whole day. It set the tone for an awesome weekend because I get to talk about what I'm so passionate about, and I know from, you know, people that are just listening in or listen to the replay of this, they're going to get something that's going to change their life in some way. And it's funny because people say to me, Lisa, how do you think marketing really changes lives? Well, because it's about building those relationships. And I feel absolutely 100% good about my new challenge solution invitation formula because it is changing the way people market. It's giving people a new way to voice their messaging that feels good and is right and is in integrity, and that has been missing because, honestly, the marketing and advertising and even copywriting business can get a bad rap. I mean, I know that. I've been involved in advertising and marketing and promotions for as long as I can remember. It's funny, I even shared this in the article that I wrote for Aspire magazine. I still remember as a little kid sitting in front of the TV, our little black and white with the rabbit ear antenna, only two channels coming in, and watching commercials and thinking, oh, my gosh, I could do better than that. So even then, marketers were missing the mark. And as a child, I could see that. Things have needed to change for a really long time, and it kind of cracks me up when I look back at that. I thought, wow, I had this vision many, many years ago, but I just clearly didn't know how to articulate it then other than to say, wow, that's kind of lame.
I love that. You know, it seems like very early in life we kind of know where we're going to go. And then when we get there, we're like, oh, I always knew this. Why didn't I know this? It's a paradox, but it happens.
You know, and it's funny, that's something in the new program that I will be introducing that I take people through too, because oftentimes people do not understand what their true mission is, and they have a hard time telling their story. And if they examine their own story and start incorporating that in their marketing, it's really going to help them connect. And that's what I found with that article, because I shared some personal things that I don't typically or hadn't typically shared in a lot of applications. And people are like, wow, I can really relate to you. You're a person. And so back to marketing being all about relationships, it's even more so that way today because things are shifting and people expect more. They want more. And quite frankly, they deserve more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know we've talked about this, we've covered this, but the Internet has changed how we do business, period. And it continues to grow and it continues to evolve.
I love social media. Of course, I'm a social person who comes from a place of service. So connecting with people across the world and being able to be in service in a much bigger way is so important. And it's important to build those relationships there, too, and to not just be pushing out content that's, you know, pushing your wares. Certainly you can mm-hmm. extend that, and you can actually use the Challenge Solution Invitation in your social media as well. But the Internet gives us the opportunity to make a difference and to really re-examine the messages that we're putting out into the world so that we can be of true service and so that we can get our ideas, our thoughts, our programs, our products into the hands of people across the world to do what they want to do. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first people to sign up for my call on the 8th was a woman from Croatia.
Oh, my.
And I just thought, wow, isn't that interesting?
It's exciting.
And she sent me this really cool message that just said she was getting ready to speak at a college or an institution there about copywriting, and she said, your message landed in my inbox as if it were an angel from heaven is actually what she said, which just cracked me up. I'm like, wow, I've never heard that before. But she received my copywriting action plan for signing up on the call, and then she had all the information she needed to complete her talk.
Right.
And I'm okay with her sharing that information as long as it's helping. I don't mind a bit. Sure, it came from me and it'll help more people, but that's okay. Share it any way you want.
Right. Well, I was reading one of your articles, the one in Aspire, actually, entitled Do You Know Who Your Customers Really Are and How to Reach Them? And you start out in this goes to the lady in Croatia. I mean, how did you find her? But it's interesting, this is how you start out. It's interesting to me how many people truly don't know who their clients are, let alone how to reach them. That's one of the most brilliant sentences I've read in a long time, because people will come to me, and I know they've come to you, we've had this conversation before, and you'll say, well, who is your ideal client? What is your niche or your niche? And they'll say, everybody. Oh, God. So here we go.
Oh, my goodness. In fact, I heard one of the most horrifying things ever from a professor at a college who said, well, in a small market, everyone has to be your target because it's too expensive to segment. And I wanted to pull my hair out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. No. How can you be teaching this to your students when that's just not true? But people don't know. They don't understand. It's what they've been taught. It's what they think. And instead of questioning what's always been taught, they kind of blindly just follow. And we can't do that anymore.
Right.
We have to think for ourselves. We have to create new ways of doing things. The world is changing, and we have to help facilitate that change. And we do have to know who we're talking to. And everyone is not our client. I mean, there are people, for example, when I work with clients, their mission and their vision has to be in alignment with mine. I'm not going to help promote or create content to help promote any product or service that I don't believe in and that I don't believe is making a positive change. And that's a really beautiful place to
be. And I'm with you on that. I mean, I have turned clients away because I simply just don't like what they're doing. And I won't. I just won't work with them. Now, I will help them to find somebody who can work with them and will. Mm-hmm. But I don't take every client who approaches me. I have to really like them. I have to really be excited about working with them. And I have to be able to speak in their own voice, literally, because I'm managing their business.
Right.
You have to be so careful. You just can't take whatever comes down the pike.
You can't, and some people do, and it really comes from a place of fear and scarcity. And it actually is such a huge disservice, because once we step into our own brilliance and we realize that we're here for a much bigger purpose, whatever that might be, you know, it might take a while to discover it. I get that. But we have to really be clear about who we're aligning ourselves with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very strict promise to my community that I will not share products, people, or programs with them that I haven't personally experienced or that I don't know work firsthand. And that's been, you know, honored all along. And so it's interesting when people come my way and they'll want me to promote a program, and I'm like, you know, I think you're a great person, but I don't know that this really works, so I can't.
I'm the same way. You just, if I send out a newsletter, an email, and say, listen, you know I don't offer you a lot of stuff, and if I do, it's because I've done it and I believe in it, I mean that. So I'm almost never send out affiliate links. I just don't. I have to have that product or have used that product or have gained something from that product or service or whatever it is in order for me to speak knowledgeably and honestly about it. Otherwise, it just doesn't get done. It doesn't pass through my hands.
And I think affiliate marketing is okay to a degree if you know and like and trust the product, the program, or the person, and also if you let people know that that's what you're doing. And, in fact, you're required to do that online via the FTC regulations now. So that's pretty important.
Yeah, it is. Well, we are just about to the end of the show. Is there anything that we missed? I've had so many questions for you. My brain is on fire. Is there anything that you would like to add to what you've already said?
You know, just really think about the messaging that you're sending out into the world and be sure that, you know, everyone listening to this, that you're creating those marketing messages with integrity. Of course, there's tons of free information on my blog, so you can always visit my blog at writeoncreative.com/blog, and you can grab my free copywriting action plan, get to know me that way if you'd like. But beyond that, really, I'm just excited to share this challenge, solution, and invitation, the new copywriting formula, and it truly is the new marketing model for success. So it just brings me great joy to be here, and I thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I've loved having you. And I'm looking at aspiremag.net. Everybody needs to go to aspiremag.net. And she's right smack on the front page. Look at you.
Thanks.
You're looking good.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was a real honor. It's been a lot of fun. I'm still very humbled by that.
Oh, I think that I'm so proud of you. But listen, I'm actually signed up for that call next week. I've registered, so I will be there with bells on and I'll be listening. So tell people one more time where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me at writeoncreative.com, and it's writeoncreative.com. And if you want to join the call on the 8th, go to writeoncreative.com/integrity, and we'll see you there. That'd be great.
I will definitely be there. Lisa, thank you so much for being with me here today. I always love having you on the show. I always take away some great ideas and a lot of energy. I mean, I always, you know, walk away from this going, that was cool. I really enjoyed
that. I get the same
that.
From you, so it's always an honor. Oh. Anytime, I'd love to come back. We could talk for hours, I'm sure.
I know. We will. Definitely, I want you to come back soon, and I will be on that call next week. And, I mean, congratulations on everything you're doing. You're doing everything from your heart, you know, from your soul, and you're creating such, I don't know, goodwill. Might be, excuse me, I don't know if that's the right word, but I think it is. I think it's important to say that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support. I really do, because it does take a lot of time and energy and passion, and I'm just glad that it truly is hitting home with so many people, and it's going to change. It's really going to change history, I believe. It's going to change the way we market from here on out.
I think so. I think you're right, because the old way just does not work, and it feels icky. It just feels icky. So
it does.
I know. And that's a big word, icky.
It is. I know, and it's so technical.
I know. It's the best I can do today.
That's what I'm using. I'm even using that in my program cover, seriously.
Okay. I thought I was being really original. It's because my brain is deprived of oxygen today from all the coughing.
I have to tell you that I get people saying that to me all the time. They're like, ooh, that feels icky or too salesy. I'm like, we can fix that.
Right. And it's so important. I don't want to be sold to. I don't. The minute my spidey sense is excellent, the minute my spidey sense goes up, and I know that you're selling to me, I'm gone. I may be looking you right in the eye, but I'm gone. I'm off at the plant stand. I'm buying tomatoes or something. So, and I think that that's what happens a lot. Lisa, thank you so, so, so much. And thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Lisa Mannion wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you.